Money.
Well, we've all been here for the last few days, and we've been hearing about how this Feast of Tabernacles pictures the coming kingdom of God and when Christ rules on the earth. And we are his first fruits to be serving under him. Sometimes I think the idea of ruling under Christ is a bit daunting. And I sort of wonder, you know, what would I have to offer and how do I fit in this plan? Even in the church, it can seem like this. And sometimes it seems like God's mostly working, you know, with America. And it can seem like we are in the far-flung parts of the world, like Northern Australia or here in Eastern Europe. It can seem like we're not as important in the family of God. And the trouble with this is it can lead to the danger of becoming like those five foolish virgins who let their oil run out because of, I suppose, laziness and complacency. So today I'd just like to give you some encouragement, just remind us that God's not a respecter of persons and that each of us individually have a role to play in the body of Christ. And it's our duty, no matter where we are, to keep our focus on the kingdom. So just sort of as an illustration, sort of like Mr. Johnson's been doing it, my occupation is a diesel fitter, or a heavy-duty mechanic, whatever you call them, wherever you are. And so I brought in some parts just to show you. These are just, I use these every day, they're just simply called O-rings, and they're just a disposable part, but as you can see, they're all very different. Each one's different colour, thickness, and made of different materials, and each one's for a different purpose. Some handle temperatures, high temperatures, some won't handle high temperatures, some crumble if they get exposed to high temperatures, some handle high pressure, some handle different chemicals like fuels, whereas others won't handle high fuels, they'll just disintegrate as soon as they get exposed to it. And I just use that analogy like just to bring the point out that we're all different, but we all have a purpose in God's body. Like we do live in this world that tells us that we all need to be a certain way, and we're told that, you know, if we don't have a certain looks, or advertising pushes that if we don't have a certain possession, we're not quite good enough, and we need to be a certain person. And we know this is unrealistic, but it can still apply to us and give us sort of sometimes even a sense of lower self-worth. And of course, this is Satan's desire, but should we let this carry over into our spiritual life? Does God value someone from the large church populations over someone from, you know, these far-flung regions like Eastern Europe? And do we need to measure up with those from the big church areas? I think we all know this is not the case, though. So let's just turn have a look at some examples. We'll have a look at Gideon's example. So if you go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with you, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." So we see two different opinions of the same person. God sees him as a potential mighty man of valor. Gideon sees himself as the least of the and the weakest clan of Manasseh. And God could see that Gideon knew he couldn't do it without his help. He couldn't conquer the Midianites, and he couldn't even take on the idolatry of Israel without his help. And this is something I find very encouraging too, how patient God was with Gideon in getting him motivated to do his work. But as we read along further, we see that God doesn't need big numbers to do his will and do his purpose. And if we see over the page there in chapter 7, in some cases, in verse 2 there, in some cases God would even rather use less people to show, just to show his might. I'll read that in chapter 7, verse 2. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" So sometimes God wants quality, not quantity. So we've been called to God's way, and have been shown his truth, are small in number anywhere in the world, but like in areas like this in Eastern Europe, pretty tiny actually, especially like in Estonia. And in some ways this gives you even a bigger responsibility for us to grow and overcome and produce fruits of the Spirit. Because like each of those O-rings, you know, every in the machine, every one has its role and its job, and no matter how big or small it is, you know, one of those O-rings fails, no matter what machine it is, it'll go down. Each one is important. We might not think we have a big impressive job now, but we need to be ready to serve Christ at his return, no matter which way he wishes. Think of Joseph. We're all familiar with his story, the son of Israel. He was taken away from his family and spent years going through all those trials on his own. And through it all, you know, he kept his faith that God was with him, even though a lot of the time, I'm sure, it wouldn't have felt like it. But in the end, God went on to use him. As we heard the other day from Mr. Aslops, presentation about, you know, he was saved the world basically from starvation, you know, and if he'd given up, you know, how different would it have been? And of course God would have used, you know, carried out his plan, but for Joseph himself, you know, he went on to be rewarded beyond anything anyone could have imagined. I'm not suggesting we should isolate ourselves at all, but that's not at all. We should take every opportunity we can get to fellowship and, you know, do the old iron sharpening iron thing. But what I'm saying is that just because you're called an isolated part of the world in regards to the church doesn't mean that you're any less important in God's plan and the work he has in store for in his kingdom. Just over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So God wants people from every walk of life, and if you look at the church around the world, you'll see that it is very diverse in its members and the experiences they've all had. So in the kingdom, God will be using you to help rebuild the earth, and this will include rebuilding all the shattered lives, like we heard about in Mark's sermon yesterday, of people who have been, you know, through the worst time in history. And the different experiences we have now will help us in this role. So what do you think would be the most important experience to be able to pass on to these people? Well, sort of Mark pretty well answered that yesterday, and I'd suggest it's our experience of obeying God's law and trusting in God and learning to lean on Him to get us through whatever it is we're facing or have faced. And ultimately allowing Christ to heal us. Again, we went through that yesterday. Basically, having faith and obedience. If we're baptized and have God's Spirit, then chances are we could all tell of how Christ has healed us in some way. And again, there's no therapy better than God's Spirit working in us. We went through a lot of these examples yesterday, but we just went to another one in Psalm 147. Read verse 1. Praise the Lord, for He is good. Sing praises to our God, for it is beautiful, and the praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We go down to number 6. The verse, the Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. So you can imagine what a comfort those words would give someone who have just been through, you know, the tribulation. Lots of other examples like we went through yesterday. But you'll be proof that leaning on God is the only way that works. So again, I just want to encourage each of you to realise your value as part of the body of Christ here in Northern Europe and Eastern Europe, and how important each one of us is. And we go home from the feast and strive to do our part to grow. And when I say what value, I don't mean like in the worldly way, like in a celebrity where you put up on a pedestal. I mean like Gideon, developing your value in the way you can serve God. Like in Romans, just finish up here in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us in measure of faith. Whereas we have been members of one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many members, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So just one final scripture of encouragement here, is Luke 7:28. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least, these are the words of Christ, he who is the least of the kingdom of God is greater than he.